Welcome back, listeners of Siouxland Catholic Radio. I'm Joanne Fox. I'm the host of the program today, in a way. I'm a Siouxland Catholic Radio board member, and this is Faith in Action. And if you joined us at the start of the show, you know that my guest in the studio is Mary Hendricks. She is director of mission integration at our only Catholic hospital in Sioux City. We do have a Catholic hospital in Carroll, Iowa, St. Anthony, so it's not the only Catholic hospital in the Diocese of Sioux City. But for the tri-state area, and we do serve Northeast Nebraska and Southeast South Dakota, so really, Mercy One serves that entire area. And so tickled that Mary took time out of her schedule to come on down here and chat with us about mission integration. And again, if you started listening at the top of the show, you know before we took a break, I said that we had something a little different going on today, kind of a tag team. So my co-host in the studio with me today is an employee who has just recently started with Siouxland Catholic Radio. I want to welcome Lisa Niebuhr. She is Listener Relations Director for Siouxland Catholic Radio. And as you know, I've talked about how I snowbird in Arizona. So Lisa is going to be taking over the show every once in a while and interviewing individuals as well. And I am so tickled. So Lisa, thank you so much for stepping up to the plate, taking the ball and running down the court. I appreciate it. And I'm going to turn it all over to you now.
Well, thank you so much, Joanne, and thank you all for the opportunity to join you. And as Mary's been talking about, service at Mercy One Siouxland is a core component of all of the Catholic Church and what you do. And what I would love you, Mary, to share with us a little bit about is some of the community volunteer work that the staff also does. I mean, not only do volunteers come into the community from the community, but how do the hospital staff volunteer out in the community, and what are some of the neat projects you've done over the years?
One of the projects that really comes to top of mind is the street project. And so Mercy Medical Center had brought in a speaker to talk about how can we minister to folks that are out on the street that are homeless. And so a speaker came in and talked about the program, and it really took root here in Sioux City. And so there's a core group of people that see the homeless in different locations currently and take care of their basic needs. So first aid, blood pressure, they check their blood sugars. And if they do need help, then they get them into the urgent care at the Siouxland Community Health Center that's right there by the warming shelter. And so it's really been a community effort to better care for those that are homeless.
What are some of the other projects that you also have embarked upon over the years?
Well, there's been some programs related to food insecurity. So we've done some food drives. We partner with other agencies in the community. So we take that food and put that into different pantries. We've done some funding for community gardens in the area. So some of the low-income apartments and putting community gardens in those locations. Most recently, we had a grant with the pandemic that was related to the Native American population. And so we funded some of the education for the Native American folks, particularly in the Winnebago area, so that they could understand the vaccine a little bit better and understand how important it was for them at a high-risk group of people for COVID. So it was very important that they understood how important that vaccine was for them.
And are those projects just here at the Mercy One Siouxland Hospital, or are some of those projects in your different clinics too throughout the Mercy One Siouxland network?
Yeah, throughout Mercy One, there are different projects. We're really excited over on the other side of the state that there will be a mobile unit that we're starting to use. So a Winnebago has been purchased, and that will be hitting the road to provide health care to others that need it out in the rural areas.
What's been the biggest aha for your staff as they're out doing all of these incredible projects? What do you hear when they come back to the hospital or they're done with the service project? What's that sparkle in their eyes?
I think serving others helps the person that's serving as much as it's helping the person that you're serving.
And yet they have been through the pandemic they really have been those servant leaders more than any other group in the community. Why do they feel to continue to give more? Because they are already giving the first and best, and yet here they're going out of their way and saying, I want to do one more thing.
I think it's who they are. It's their faith in action. It's their calling. They feel called to this ministry of Mercy One, and that carries over to their life in every direction.
Is it doctors and nurses primarily? Is it therapists? Is it social workers? Is it some of the phenomenal food service staff? Who are the different individuals that like to volunteer?
It isn't one particular area. I would say it's coming from all the different departments in the organization.
Even from those who work in the days to working in the evening shifts too?
Absolutely, yeah.
Mary, I think many people in the community also don't understand or take for granted the other ways in which the staff at Mercy One live their faith. If I come into the hospital today, what are some of the different ways that your staff ministers to my needs as a patient?
Sure. I think the first thing is so important for us to understand you as a person, as a whole person, body, mind, and spirit, and what's most important to you. And so we want to get to know you personally so that we can best meet your needs. So that starts at the very, in the parking lot, it starts with us parking your car for you, helping you get to where you need to go for the services that you came for. And then it's helping people feel relaxed in that medical situation because it can be very stressful. And then I think it's to make sure that you get the medical care that you came for, but then you're equipped to take care of whatever your needs are after you leave the hospital as well.
Mary, talk a little bit about the priests and the other pastors in the hospital who minister to patients and to families. Are priests available on call all of the time, communion, etc., during the day, anointing? What are some of the different ways that the priests and pastors ministers to families?
We have spiritual care that's available 24 hours, 7 days a week. We have two full-time priests. We're very blessed to have two full-time priests chaplains. So they're both board-certified chaplains as well as priests that work at the hospital. So they're available for the sacraments, for anointing of the sick, or the Holy Eucharist. They're there for bereavement support for the families as well. And they're there regardless of a person's faith belief. They're there to help people find meaning in their current situation. We have six chaplains on staff, and we are just posting additional chaplain positions. So we'll be adding more chaplains that will be available more in the evening and overnight hours so that we can support those patients and families and colleagues in the overnight hours more.
What have you enjoyed most in your service at Mercy One as your role in Director of Mission Integration? Is it your community service? Is it your service in the hospital? What have you enjoyed most to this point?
I love the personal connections with the patients, families, and colleagues that are caring for the patients. That's probably the most meaningful for me.
Mary, I think during the pandemic, the role of the priests played a more integral role in the incredible care that was provided at Mercy One. Will you share some of these stories of the priests serving families during the pandemic?
Yes, Lisa. So what comes to mind first is that we had to figure out how are we going to support these patients when we eliminated visiting initially. So that was very taxing for the patient to not be able to see their family, and also for that family to wonder how is the patient doing, and just being at home really worried about their loved one in the hospital. And so the chaplains took on the role to be that communicator with those families and to provide updates to those families while they are at home. And then we modified our visitation, and so we did allow people coming in, which I think was really helpful as well. But we started with iPads, and we used cell phones, and we did FaceTiming, and just all kinds of different ways to keep those families in touch with their loved ones.
And so families, even though they didn't walk in through the front door, they really were walking in through the front door of technology and sitting right across from their loved one in the room, thanks to technology, iPads, phones, etc., and the priest being able to facilitate that conversation and to provide that spiritual care. Did the priests find that they were spending more time on the phone, too, with family members trying to answer questions?
Absolutely. It was a lot more time on the phone. But we also revised our care teams a bit. So some of the social workers and utilization review nurses stepped in, and they were communicators as well. And they were really integral in that role to make sure that communication kept going, because the physicians were very busy taking care of the patients, and so were the nurses.
Well, Mary, we'll have a few more questions for you, but we're going to take a moment to thank all of our generous underwriters, and we invite you to stay tuned and join us in a few minutes.